Okay, good morning. Greetings in Christ's name. So, husbands love and be not bitter. So, I don't know if y'all are looking more forward to this more or if y'all are looking forward to it more. But I hope that it will be a blessing to all of us, right? There's no place that the gospel is more real than in our homes. And when we have the gospel in our homes, we have only so many children in our home, right? It seems like a small amount. It seems like this is a much more effective way. But there is something about the foundation. And not just what it does for them, but what it does for us that is just so foundational. Do we want homes that flourish? Okay, open your Bibles to Colossians 3:19. So this is the text for the message this morning, a very short verse. The title, Husbands Love and Be Not Bitter, basically says the meaning of this verse. I often marvel at how the gospel can say so much in so few words. As writers, you try to condense it down and you try to know what you're really trying to say, and then you flesh it out. And the Bible has so much in these few words. Husbands, love, and be not bitter. So, first I'd just like to look a little at God's design for marriage. God's design for marriage is one of closeness, one of fellowship, one of tightness. It is a relationship. His design is one that is made, or he models it after his relationship with Christ in the church. And so as we live out our lives, it's telling the world, this is what Christ and the church are like in a practical way. In Genesis 2:23-24, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. That tightness, that fellowship, that oneness, that closeness, that spiritual fellowship. We want that fellowship. We want that oneness to flourish in our homes. We want that to be a reality. And it starts in our marriages. It starts, first of all, in our personal relationships with God. We cannot expect our marriages to be anything more than what we are ourselves with God. And the message last night on channels of God's love, that's what it's all about, right? We, as husbands, are simply just a channel. It's not like we're giving them any more than we've received, right? If we feel like we are giving more than is our right duty, it's like he said last night in relation to mercy, we have forgot the mercy that we have received of God, right? We have forgot the love that he has given to us. Let's go to Ephesians 5. We could cover this later, but I just want this one verse before we get started. It just says so much. Ephesians 5, verse 2. And this is not just talking about husbands here. This is just a way of life, right? Ephesians 5, 2. And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So he loved us, but who was the sacrifice to? God. So, here it says that Christ loved us, gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for something that smelled really good to God. For something that God said, I like this. I'm well pleased. I am happy with this. And our love for God, for our wives, is not based on who they are, on how good they are, on all that. Our love for our wives is based on God's love to us, right? We are simply a channel through which his love can flow. So I hope that the message here this morning can be an inspiration. I realize there are probably sore spots. There are probably hearts that wish for this to be a reality in their marriage. There are probably hearts that wish for marriage. Maybe never were, maybe widowed, maybe any separation there. But I hope that this can be a time of refreshment as we simply look at this is God's plan. This is God's plan, and God's plan just works. It does. And to give us a vision and give the youth a vision for what it's all about as far as just the concept of it's not what we get out of it, but it's what we can give. Kind of like all relationships, really. And that we can bring healing, repentance to marriages where this is not the reality. To inspire us. Okay, so we looked here. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So this cleaving here makes for a close connection, a tightness, that oneness. And in Colossians 3:19, it says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. So we have two attitudes in there. One is love and the other is bitterness. One will drive our marriages apart and one will glue our marriages together. Two attitudes. And I would like to look at this as more as attitudes and not as things we do. Fellowship, that oneness. Marriage relationship is built on the same principles as all other relationships. And maybe I'm not going to talk a lot about this, but I'd just like to put a little something on the board to help us as we go through. You might be able to recognize, oh, this goes to this part of the diagram, or this applies here. So our view of God and our view of others and our view of ourselves are the three legs to the stool. It just makes up who we are. And out of who we are simply is how we respond. So when you see a response in our lives that is not right, and this is for all relationships, it's not really that the response is so much the problem as the response is a revealer of who we are. And as we think last night, just the message on the Brother Kloss there on the channels of God's love, our view of what God has done for us is just so foundational. Our view of others, like our wives, are they like for what we can get out of it? So when we sacrifice, it's like we're really giving up here, right? It's really a sacrifice for us. Like we'll do it, but we wish we wouldn't need to. Or how do we view others? How do we view ourselves, and how do we view God? Okay, how do we love? Ephesians 5, verse 25. Let's just read this whole passage here. If we're going to look at first, how do we love? So we're going to look at the effect of love. We'll look at be not bitter. And then we may look a little bit at the commitment of love. So first of all here, how do we love? Ephesians 5, 25 to 33. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So the first point on how do we love? First thing I like to look at is how do we love? We love by giving sacrificially. So the first verse that I read in Ephesians, back in verse 2, Ephesians 5, 2, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself. The word given just simply means to surrender. We have that same word again here in verse 25. As Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. He just surrendered himself for the church. It's like he sacrificed, but it wasn't like a sacrifice that he did. Like he put this thing, it was rather his heart was surrendered. And so everything that he was just giving himself. He was giving himself for the cause here. Well, that's what it says, and he gave himself for it. A sacrifice is something that we make sacrifices all the time, right? I mean, it was a sacrifice to come here for everybody, right? There were other things to do, but we're like, you know what? What we get out of it is going to be worth more than what we put into it. There's a greater cause, all right? We make sacrifices, all right? We like, sometimes in the morning, I'd rather not get out of bed. Well, I make the sacrifice to get out of bed because there's a greater cause than staying in bed, all right? So sacrifices are simply a way of life. And the same is true in this area. A sacrifice is something we make because the cause is greater than the sacrifice. And these verses tell us to follow Christ's example. He didn't sacrifice something. He sacrificed himself. And I wish I could say there was an easy way to do that. I wish I could say, you know, there's a pain-free, there's a Tylenol way that we can do this, that we can have what we want and still do this. It just doesn't work that way. The truth is, he that loveth his wife loveth himself, right? And so in the end, it does work out. So a godly husband will make sacrifices without counting them as a sacrifice. Don't view what you put into the relationship as a sacrifice. And I just wonder how many times we change in our perspective from the 19, 20, 21, 23 years, 20, whatever, 25, 30 when we're dating, to 50 and 30 and 40. If we change what we put into the relationship, at first, we don't really count it as sacrifice. I mean, it's been a few years since I've been there. We just keep watching my brothers and others, and they just do all kinds of things. You know, they're not afraid to quit work, to take off work early, to cut a whole day of work out to make this work. But they don't really view it as a sacrifice. Maybe sometimes they view it a little more as what they can get out of it. I don't know. Hopefully not, but can we get older? Can we still view it as like, you know what, I'm just glad to do this? So let's say you come home early for work. You're just going to surprise your wife. You come home early for work, and she's, you get there, and she's just like busy in the kitchen and trying to get all these things done, and she's got 101 things she has to get done here before 6 o'clock, before supper time. And you're like, you know, I came home, but you don't have time for me. You don't even appreciate it, okay? We're viewing the sacrifice. We're viewing what we did as a sacrifice. We're expecting the reward. Now, probably in the right, the best scenario there would be for Mrs. Love to just sit down for a minute. And then in a minute, she just explains her situation. You know, I got quite a bit I do need to get done before supper, I think. What do you think we should do? And he says, Mr. Love says, well, let's work at it together, right? But we can spend a minute. We have a minute. And that's one thing I just keep forgetting. Sometimes I rush, and I'm like, at the end, I'm like, I could have taken 30 seconds to say just a few words. It would have been worth it. In the end, it would not have hurt, those 30 seconds. I'm speaking not just to our wives, but anybody, especially our family and our children. To someone dating, these things of committing to love may sound easy. They may sound easy, they may sound, you know, easy to commit to, nothing hard, but the reality is sacrifice in a marriage is very much like sacrifice in any relationship, even the relationships of those you struggle to get along with. Not always easy, but always fulfilling, okay? Not always easy, but always fulfilling. All right, the next point, how do we love? First, we looked at by giving sacrificially. Now we'd like to look at love by cherishing. Will you love and cherish her? And you've heard the rest, right? Will you? Oh, yeah, we'll do that. We'll do that, and we're all happy. You know, we're glad to do that. But do we cherish our wives? Do we count them as, you know, the queen? The special one, the most important one in the house. Is that how our lives are? Can our children tell that we cherish them? Can we cherish our moments together? Does she know how pleased we are that she is our wife? Do we tell her, I love you? The tone of our voice tells them a lot, right? Do we cherish them through the tone of our voice? The amount of time that we spend with them says a lot. The amount of time. Can we make time? What about when you're in a hurry? Can you take time for her? Can you involve yourself in things like shopping together? Can you go shopping? I don't know how it is with y'all, but Karen loves when I go. If she's going to Walmart, she loves if I can go with her. It doesn't always work, you know. But sometimes it can, often. Let the children off at someone in church and go spend the evening together and have a date night. That's easier for me to overlook than it is for my wife. She treasures it, and I think, well, we're together all the time, and sometimes I catch these little hints, you know. Sure, you can go out to Colorado if we can have a date night, you know. We'll make it up, okay? And the children love it. The children are glad when we have a date night. We have a little system worked out in a very nice family and church, and just any time we want, it's there. We can count on it. Make her feel special and valuable versus being controlling. How can husbands be controlling? What would you say is the biggest opposite of control that a husband can get, that biggest attitude, the opposite attitude of control? I don't know what the biggest one is, but I think of trust. If we can trust our wives and we build trust in them and we build respect in them, that's good. Teach children to respect mom's authority. Stand behind her in discipline issues. You may not always agree. Sometimes I think, well, she needs to stand behind me. Well, that's true. But also, I need to stand behind her. If there are differences, we can work them out in private, right? But the children need to know that I stand behind mom. And build that trust. Build that trust in your children towards their mom. Ask her for her input. These are all things that say, I cherish you. I count you as important. I want to know what you're thinking. Do the kitchen things her way. There's a lot of things that are, you know, you will do your way. But the kitchen things, you can do some of that her way. You can try when we got married, this thing of spatulas and scrapers. Well, what's a scraper and what's a spatula? Well, I was used to calling it one way and she was used to calling it the other way. Well, I decided, big deal, I'm not going to try to switch her. If she's the kitchen lady, I'm gonna learn to say it her way, even though at first it sounded so funny, but I tried to figure out a way that it made sense. And it works, and I don't even think about it much anymore. Work as a team. Cultivate togetherness. Be interested in her things. Okay, the third way we can love is love by honoring. So, wives, respect your husbands, right? That's your job, is to respect. And we often think respect and honor, but are husbands supposed to honor their wives? What reference is that one? 1 Peter 3, let's go there. So we're going to start in verse 23. We're going to read 23 in chapter 2. We're going to read chapter 3, verse 1, or part of it, and part of 5 and 7. 23, 1 Peter chapter 2. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Chapter 3, likewise, like Christ did in verse 23, likewise the wives, okay? Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, and it goes on. Verse 5, for after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God, okay? And then we go to verse 7, a continuation from 2:23, a continuation from 3:1, a continuation from 3:5. Likewise, ye husbands, with that same attitude, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So giving honor, how can we give honor? True love will always honor. As Christ, so are marriages. This, like the attitude in 2:23, like the attitude that Christ had towards his Father, so that attitude needs to be demonstrated, both husbands and wives. Committing ourselves to God and to his plan. Okay, according to knowledge. It says we honor them, and we need to dwell with them according to knowledge, not just according to how we know them, okay? Think about it now. You know how your wives are, okay? You know certain things, but it's also continue to try to learn to know them, all right? After you've been married for, like, we've been married for 13 years, but I still haven't got it all, right? Continue to know them. Continue to learn to how she thinks. It's an ongoing. How they think and how they feel. I have done many things that have hurt my wife. Probably most of them out of either carelessness or a lot of them out of just not even knowing better. I just never thought about it, okay? And part of the dwelling with them according to knowledge is listen how they feel. Read their expressions. And when they're hurt, take note. It may be our responsibility. It may be our fault if they're hurt. Dwell with them according to knowledge. grow in sensitivity to her feelings? Do I care when my wife is facing a difficult battle? So it says, dwell with them according to knowledge. And we think sometimes of that knowledge part. But that's one part. The other part is to actually do it. Actually do the dwelling. Are we actually living according to the way we know them? Sometimes we can think about how we know them, but then are we doing it? Are we living that way? Are we living the way like we know it? So this verse gives two ways to honor. One is treating her as the weaker vessel, and the other is remembering we are heirs together. Okay, heirs together. Come in there also the thing of not being neglectful, not being controlling. I don't know if I'm going to talk a lot about that. I talked a little bit about being controlling earlier. But heirs together, we have that spiritual fellowship, right? Spiritual fellowship. Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel is not just physically, but it's also emotionally. Giving honor to her. Heirs together of the grace of life. Do we connect spiritually? I think it's... Do we share spiritually? I think it probably gets neglected. My testimony is it does not come natural to share spiritually, to really have that fellowship, to have that. It takes effort. It takes carefulness. So here, a failure. Here it says, let me read this first. As being heirs together, the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Failure to honor her results in dire results, right? Dire consequences. One of our prayers is for our children to make it, right? For our children to embrace the principles that we hold dear. The values, the principles of God's word. This verse shows one thing that can, one of many things that can hinder this prayer from being a reality. There are many things, but this is one thing that we need to pay attention to. That your prayers be not hindered. Dwell with them according to knowledge. Be there for them. Moving on, be there for them when? One, in times of busyness. In times when it feels like you don't have time. Set aside time for each other. I already talked a little bit about this, but dating should be a way of life. Should not stop with marriage. I don't mean just having date nights where you go to the park together. I mean just, we have that. We just love to be together. We love to share. We love to share about our day. We love to, so wives love, I think, I'm guessing that most people are like my wife. Wives love to listen. They love to hear about your day. They love to hear about the things you're involved. They love to hear about what you're struggling with. They want to hear... They want to hear your visions, your goals for life. They want you to share about how things are going, how you perceive things to be going with the children. Tell them about your visit with the neighbor, with the customer. You get back from brothers' meeting, tell them, share with them about the brothers' meeting, school board meeting, all kinds of meetings, ministers' meetings. Do we involve them? They make a sacrifice whenever there's a meeting. Almost every time there's a sacrifice they make. Part of that reward is involving them. Wives also not only love to hear, but love to be heard, right? They love to be listened to. Listen how their day went, how her day went, how her visit went with the sister she was visiting with whoever called, stopped in, phone call, anything. Listen, not just to words, but listen for what is important to her. Okay, listen for what's important for her in life, to her in life. Okay, another way we can lead, love is love by leading. So there are several verses, and we're fixing to hear them, and I'm going to try not to get too much on any of that, but it just, there are these verses in Ephesians that we read about wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. It says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands. These verses infer something. What do they infer? If the wife is to submit, it infers that the husband is to lead out, right? The husband is to take responsibility for these things. And that is a form of love. Leading with a vision. More than not just a picture of an ideal life, but a vision is understanding the heart of God. A vision is a life that can beat with the heart of God. A vision is one that where we have this vision is to pass on the heartbeat of God, where the pulse of God, to cultivate a oneness with God, I guess that'll work. Looking down the road, understanding what needs to be done to end up where we want to end up at. And this is teamwork, right? We lead, but it's teamwork. It's not just coming and saying this is how we're doing it. It's working together. Listening. Leading is to go first by demonstrating, right? To lead is you pull a wagon, you're leading the wagon. You lead a horse, you go before it. Okay, you drive cattle, you go behind them, right? So part of leading is to demonstrate the way. Go first. And that's probably the biggest thing is in attitudes. Can we lead in attitudes? Can we lead in a willingness? I mean, you may be strong, you may be big, you may have so many right answers, but can we lead in a willingness to receive input? Can we lead in that? Can we show her that this is how it's done? This is how it's done here. Can we lead her in attitudes of unselfishness? Attitudes of where, oh, I'm so glad to do this, even though it costs something. Remember, we don't view the relationship as what I can get out of it. If our view of ourself is selfish, then our whole who we are is going to be in bad shape. If our view of others, and maybe we could say in light of the subject, our view of God, our view of our wife, and our view of myself, okay? But if our view of others or our view of our wives is wrong, our whole who we are is just going to be shaky. Okay, lead your family to a deeper trust in God. I feel like a trust in God. There is nothing more important than faith in God. Nothing more important than a faith in God. And a faith in God and a trust in God are so, they're like this, right? God allows so much to come in life. Can we trust God with what he brings? Can we trust God and say, God, I let you be God? Or do we, when God does not move the way that we want him to be, when he is not the God, when God is not the idol we set him up to be in our minds or in our children's minds, we're in bad shape, okay? Our view of God, right? We just keep coming back to some of these things. So lead your family to a deeper trust in God. God is sovereign, and he brings many situations into our lives. What do we do with those situations? Let's embrace them, okay? If God brings something in our life, don't run from it. Embrace it. The way we accept life reveals our trust in God. The way we accept life reveals our trust in God. And this is not just a husband thing. It's an everybody thing. It's an everybody thing. Okay, going on. the effect of love. What is love? What's the effect of love? What's the purpose of love? It says here in Ephesians 5, 26 and 27, these verses are speaking of Christ and the church. It says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that, for the purpose that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives. I think there's a connection here. It says this is why Christ did this for the church, for sanctification, for cleansing it, that it might be spotless. What responsibility do we as husbands have on the spiritual vitality of our wives? Where does our responsibility come in there? And how is it connected to our love? It seems there's a direct connection between Christ's love for us, God's love for us, and his cleansing us. And it seems there's a direct connection, or that it seems like it is inferring to us that we should get the hint that the same principles apply here. Generally speaking, a wife's growth, a wife's lack of growth, a wife's vitality is a mirror of her husband. Okay? Generally, that's a general statement. Okay? If you see your wife grow, then stay humble, okay? But it's probably a reflection there. When a husband loves and honors his wife as Christ planned, it has a great impact on his wife. Great effect. How have you helped your wife grow? There are things we can do to help her. There are things we can help her spiritual life. The biggest thing is love, okay? The biggest thing is love. All right. Now, maybe we could just stop there, but it says, love your wives and be not bitter. So, the be not bitter applies to the part when we don't want to love them. Okay? When they displease us, then what do we do? When they please us, it's easy to love them, right? But what is our response when they don't make us happy? All right? There are times you don't make your husbands happy. There are times you greatly displease him and hurt him, like in the heart. Okay? How are you supposed to respond in those situations? If I view my marriage for what I can get out of it, then I will be bitter. I will be bitter. Okay? It's not rocket science, it's just simple. Simple, it's not complicated. It's not always easy, but it's not complicated. Does that make sense? Sometimes it's very hard to surrender. Sometimes it's very hard to love. But we can understand it. Falling into the deceitful trap of bitterness follows when we fail to love. When we fail to love. Love like Jesus had. He loved them. What does it say in John 13? He loved them unto the end. Like, right when they were greatly displeasing him. When Jesus should have got bitter towards his disciples, he loved them. All right, so I think we can make some connections. We have two choices, either love or bitter. Okay, now I don't mean like bitter, like just a heart of stone where you're, you know, but where that, you know, that little heart turns into a fist and kind of turns just a quarter turn. You know what I mean? It's just like, and we just feel that way, okay? We have a choice there. It's not like love is without our option. It's just like all of a sudden I just feel lovely right now, even though you just greatly cut me to the heart. But it's a choice that I choose to love. Don't be harsh in these times, but be gentle. When hurts come, be humble and remember that you too have hurt her probably worse than you. Than we know, okay? Probably worse than she ever told us of, right? And she forgave us? Can we do the same? Especially remember gentleness when you are deeply disappointed and struggling with bitterness. When you feel very disappointed and you have a thing or two to say, give a blessing with it. Give encouragement. Give it gently. Don't be harsh. Don't do anything that would keep her from feeling your affection to her, or that would make it hard for you to reverence her. And I wish I could say I've done this. I can't say that. But that is what we're striving for, to not do anything where she cannot feel our affection. So in those times when she greatly displeases us, when we want to go, show affection, okay? Show affection. Don't make it hard for her to do her part and reverence you. It was less than a week ago, I told my wife sorry about this very thing. Okay. This is something I am trying to learn. Okay, share correction privately, tenderly. And sometimes it can wait to be said. Especially do not scold my wife used to say, like, it hurts when you scold me in front of the children. And I didn't realize I was scolding her in front of the children. But that's how she understood it. And if that's how she understands it, then that's what it is, right? Then don't do it, okay? Don't scold her in front of the children. Don't belittle her for past mistakes, but find a way to sweetly redeem them. There are times you will disagree. There are times when she won't get it. There's times when we don't get it too, right? But there are times, in these times, never attack her. Always be humble. The way we relate to our disagreements will either do this and glue us together, or it'll go like that. We'll still live together, but we won't be together. Don't begrudge making sacrifices for her. Don't do it with a grudging heart, like, yeah, I do it, but I wish I didn't need to. Love gives affection, but bitterness withholds affection. In those times when that affection is hard to give, when you feel bitter, just be careful. Give it. Give it. Don't hold grudges, those bitter thoughts. Thoughts of, you never treated me like this when we were dating. Like, you never talked like this back then. I didn't know you thought. I thought you would gladly support my vision. It seemed like we were together when we were dating. Thoughts of distancing yourself, like not necessarily with space, but with heart. You know, where the heart, you just like, it might be the silent treatment, or it might just be the, just kind of cool. Those are, probably we could say forms of bitterness. Don't do it. She probably won't feel your affection with those actions. Forgiveness is a must for a marriage. So earlier we looked at one way that Satan gets an advantage of us, right? And not answering our prayers. What was that? By when we do not honor our wives. Well, in 2 Corinthians 2, 10 and 11, we have another clue, another insight on how Satan likes to get the advantage of us. And that is through unforgiveness. To whom ye forgave anything, I also forgave it. If I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Jesus Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And this bitterness, this unforgiveness, that which, when love leaves, takes its place, gives Satan an advantage of us. Okay? It gives Satan an advantage, and that advantage will affect more than we think. Work it out. It's too expensive. Bitterness opens the door for impurity. Keep thyself pure. Bitterness opens the door for all kinds of things, but impurity is one of those. Keep thyself pure. When we lust after things, women, whatever, when we are not staying pure, we are not just sinning against God, but we are also sinning against our wives. I can keep going. Okay. Just like a minute here on the commitment of love. I just did not really want to end on the bitterness thing, okay? So, on the commitment, Ephesians 5:30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. 31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. So that commitment, why did it say we are members? We're members of his flesh. We get that. Of his body, of his bones. Somehow when I see the word bones, I think of commitment, okay? The commitment of love, all right? When everything feels, when the ligaments get loose and it feels like stretching, the bones are there, okay? Commitment. The commitment of love. And this is just for all, it's for all relationships, right? It's not just for marriage. It's for all relationships. The commitment of love. But it says there, and they shall be joined, he shall be, the man, this cause shall leave father and mother and be joined to his wife, okay? Joined is like to glue. Glue. Very good. Our marriage is getting glued. Commitment to love through all situations. Many believers can go through their honeymoon loving and honoring and cherishing and never being bitter against their bride. But when the trials come, when challenges come, when time makes it not new anymore, can we be just as faithful? Can we be just as loving, just as cherishing as we were on our honeymoons? Only commitment to God will carry us through these times. It might have been feelings that carried you through on your honeymoon, but only commitment to God will carry us through the times, well, many times in life. These difficulties will come to a greater or lesser degree to everyone. That's how God plans life. May God bless us. The road ahead will be sweet if we give and love and don't be bitter. But if we let things come in and we let little grudges come in, it's going to be a very difficult road. When our giving stops, the sweetness stops as well. So just one more sentence is, walking in love is a way of life. Okay? Walking in love is a way of life.